servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. Oh, and these are the days of the harvest. Oh, the fields, they are ripe by your word. And we are the, oh yes, in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, oh, shining like the sun. At the trumpet sound, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee. Oh, salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God. Oh, yes, there's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God. Oh, like my God. Behold, he comes. He's riding on the cloud. Oh, shining like the sun. Oh, at the trumpet sound. Lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee. Oh, yes. Amen. Let's sing it again. There's no God. And there's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. Oh, there is no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. Behold, he comes. He's riding on the cloud. Oh, shining like the sun. At the trumpet sound, lift your voice. Oh, and now, salvation comes. And there is power, power, wonder-working power. Oh, in the blood of the Lamb, there is power, power, wonder-working power. The precious blood of the Lamb. Yes, there is power, power, wonder-working. Amen. Do you believe that? Oh, in the blood of the Lamb, there is power, power. Oh, in the precious. Oh, sing it again. Yes, there is power, power, wonder-working power. The blood of the Lamb, there is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. For it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows.
Stand and sing that first verse now.
The blood that Jesus shed for me way back at Calvary. The blood that gives me strength from death. Strength from day to day.
Happy to be here again this morning. Amen. Certainly enjoyed the word of the Lord last night. Amen. Amen. The good thing about the morning is there's even less distraction. Amen. A lot of the young people are at vacation Bible school, so this is our time. Amen. Amen. And we're here to have church this morning. I ask Brother Joe Adams to come open the service for us in prayer. As he comes, we want to mention a Brother Kenneth Walker. He's an evangelist that works with Brother Sean Martin. He's in the hospital right now. Don't know any of the details, but just ask that we remember him in prayer. Amen. Amen. If you have a need, that blood will never lose its power. Amen. 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 I want to continue to remember each one of the song specials, the song service, the ministry of the word here at the camp. Amen. We're expecting great things. How many's expecting great things? Amen. How many's awake this morning? Amen. Amen. So let's just put our little licks of fire together and worship a living God. Amen.
Amen. You glad to be here this morning? So you glad to be here this morning? I'll just go ahead and set the record straight. I put my truck up, Brother Tom, and I got my Bible this morning, so we're going to have church, so. Love the Lord. Let's just take these knees before His throne. Father, we just bow our heads and our hearts to You this morning. Lord, a great thanksgiving we come before You, Father. And Lord, what a welcome weekend, a time of refreshing that we can just come in Your presence, service after service, Lord, and draw strength from the El Shaddai, the breasted God. And Lord, we know that You'd have exactly what we have need of this morning, Father. Lord, as You prepared the hearts of the ministry, Lord, we know that there's a word in due season, Father, for each of us that are here this morning. Lord, some may be financial trouble, domestic trouble. Lord, others it may be difficulties and trials of life. But no matter what the situation or the circumstance, we believe You to be a living God. And Lord, this morning we come, Father, not just to bring our petitions and our prayer requests, but we come to worship You, the one true God. And we're here this morning, oh God, to set aside the events of the evening, set aside the remainder of this weekend, Lord. But we want to just plug in right now, Father, in this very service, Lord, young and old, all through the building. Lord, may we just push everything else aside this morning and enter into Your presence, oh God, knowing that You have exactly what we have need of. And Lord, You see this minister, Lord, this Brother Walker there from Brother Sean Martin's church. Lord, we don't understand what's going on, but we know that You have everything in control this morning. And Lord, we're asking as sons and daughters of God that You'll just begin to flow down, oh God, the healing virtues that You so freely died for, Father. Begin to touch His body, Lord, and begin to minister to Him, Lord, the very gift of life, the healing, Lord, the virtues that, Lord, that You so freely paid for this morning, Father. And I just pray, Lord, for everyone that's here, Father, in this building this morning, whatever their need may be, Lord, I believe You'll be a need supplying God, this morning, as we heard last night, Lord, to act our age, to recognize that we are sons and daughters of God, to not put it off in the future, but to speak right now the very things that we have need of, Lord. If we believe that we receive, then we shall have what we ask for. So we're just asking this morning, God, touch us all, oh God. Minister to our hearts, Lord. Speak to our needs this morning. Elevate our faith this morning, Father. Move the ministry, oh God. If he has to get off his notes this morning, may you bring him to my way, God. May you bring him by our way this morning. May the very presence of the Holy Spirit come and search every heart that's here, God. May you move up and down the aisles, oh God, every pew, Lord, this morning. May you just have free preeminence, oh God, to move in this service, Father. Can we give it to you this morning, Lord? We give you our attention, Lord. We give you our time. Father, we give you our praise and our worship. Now we just ask that you just come, oh God. May our worship just be a sweet-smelling savor in our nostrils, oh God. And may you pour your blessings out upon us this evening, or this morning, rather. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I know this is a family camp. We have a lot of time to spend together. Amen. But we'll just take an opportunity to turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him to the house of the Lord this morning. Let's sing that song. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger. I'm wandering through this world of sin. Amen. But I'm on my way to that fair city. Amen. Where the saints go marching in. Oh, I'm a pilgrim and a stranger. I'm wandering through this world of sin. Testify of that this morning. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. And we have, as you know, a number of ministers that have come and taken up their time to be here this weekend and to help preach these meetings. And some of them are also going to help with some song specials. So we're going to ask Brother Ron Spencer maybe later. But Brother Sean Martin, you'll make ready for your special. Amen. Let's just sing that song in the key of G. Oh, it's the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost. Oh, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, Jesus is keeping. It's down in my heart. Oh, it's down in my heart. And it's keeping me alive. Oh, keeping me alive.
Sing this song, but it was requested to sing it, so we're gonna try.
The world may try to satisfy the longing in your soul. You may search this wide. But you'll be just as before. You'll never find true satisfaction until you've known the Lord. Oh, but if you have not Christ within, then all your living is in vain. There will come a time when death will call you. Riches cannot help you. Run to Jesus, for only He can satisfy. You never, never knew sweet love and joy and heaven too.
Aren't you glad that he can satisfy your soul? Amen. He's requested to sing this one as well. There are some things I may not know. There are some places that I don't go. But this one thing I know for sure, that my God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed. He's made me whole. Since that day, ever since that hour, my God is real, for I have felt His saving power. Oh, my God is real. He's real in my soul. Do you believe He's real? Oh, God is real. Washed and made me whole, and His life for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Church, I cannot tell you just how. He came and washed my sins away. And ever since that day, ever since that hour, my God has been real, for I can feel His saving power. Oh, my God is real. He's real. Washed.
say that this morning? My God is real. Amen. I serve a living God. Amen. Amen. We have Sister Bethany Lawson. Ask her to bring a special for us this morning. It's a song that she wrote. Man, I know we'll be blessed by it. As she comes, let's just sing that song kind of slowly.
Thanks, thanks, I give you thanks for all you have done. And I am so blessed, my soul has found rest.
Amen. Why don't we just lift our hands to him, thank him for all he's done for us this morning.
We say thanks, thanks, I give you thanks for all you have done.
Amen. Just put your worries aside this morning. Just thank him for all he's done for you. Thank him for what he's about to do in the service this morning.
Oh Lord, I want to give you thanks. Amen.
All of my ambitions, my dreams and traditions, and all of my foolish thinking, it just left my bones sinking. So all of my plans I place in your hands. I want to be a prisoner to you, Lord. I don't want to serve the devil, hands and feet. Oh, that's all right by me. 'Cause no matter what I gotta do, I wanna be a prisoner to you. And you'll serve something in this life, whether it be wrong or right. And either way, you'll have a master, and he can bring peace or disaster. And so the choice is up to you. But I've done thought this one through. I want to be a prisoner to you, Lord. I don't want to serve the devil, Lord, that's all right by me. 'Cause no matter what I gotta do, I wanna be a prisoner to you. So you can bind my hands and feet. that's all right by me. 'Cause no matter what I gotta do, I wanna be a prisoner to you.
Amen. Amen. Why don't we stand together this morning? Brother Wayne Lawson with us this morning to minister the word. I know he's not a stranger to any of us. And they're ministering now up in the Ohio area, evangelist, spreading the gospel all over the world. Amen. We certainly appreciate him coming this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But as I said before, this is our time. Less distractions this morning. Everybody's there at the Bible school. I don't want you to tell the Lord, I just want your presence to surround me this morning. Amen. Amen.
Surround me, oh Lord. Surround.
Sing it.
Presence of God to surround us, amen, to put something all the way around us as a hedge, amen, to keep the enemy out, keep us in, amen. It's beautiful to be shut in with God, isn't it, amen, to be his prisoner this morning, amen. It's Brother Branham said it, Joseph could never have power on a throne until he had a time in prison. And until God gets a church in prison, there can never be the power that he said could be among us. Amen. But I believe this morning that he has prisoners. Amen. We just want to say thank the Lord that he's allowed us to be a part of it. I want to say God bless you this morning. It is a real honor to be here in your family camp again. We've been able to privileged here be here a few times, and it's always a blessing. And we sure enjoyed the meeting last night. How many enjoyed the word? Amen. It was tremendous. Amen. And he had me. He was acting the agent. I was thinking 15, 20, and you know, that was very good. Amen. And I believe it's time for us to act our age. Amen. I won't be forgetting that anytime soon, Brother Tom. Amen. God bless you. And it's good to be here with our brethren. And we just want to this morning to bow our hearts and go to the Lord in a word of prayer. If you have a special need this morning, and I'll tell you, if you would just pray with me, maybe just to reach over and put your hand on someone there next to you, and let's just ask the Holy Spirit to bless them and the special needs among us right here in this building, and let's just go to our Lord. Heavenly Father, we approach you this morning in the all-sufficient name of Jesus Christ, knowing that you have positioned that name as the door to every hope in every heart. Every need, Lord, will be supplied through that name. And we call the name of Jesus this morning over this congregation of people. We lift up that name, Lord, that in healing and power and strength. And I pray right now, as you would just move across this building this morning, that may, Lord, you release the anointing of life and truth. And Father, may you bind the brokenhearted, Lord. May you heal the sick, Lord. May you recover the sight of the blind, Lord. And I pray this morning that whatever enemy spirit would try to hinder or take from the meetings and the enjoyment of your children in your presence, I pray, Father, that you would bind them. Bind them, enemy spirits, oh, this morning, Lord. As you told Peter that, Lord, we had the power to bind spirits. And I pray this morning that in the name of Jesus, may every spirit of fear, every spirit of doubt and nervousness, and I pray, God, that it be bound right here this morning as your spirit would move through this building, touching hearts, releasing hearts in your presence. Father, we ask you now, take this meeting, use it for your designed goal. Give us the courage and the strength, Father, to say the things that need said, and Father, to encourage your people. Now we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, according to thy will, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. This morning, if you have your Bibles in the book of Psalms, the 27th chapter, we would like to just turn and we thank you, brethren, in the songs and my, I guess I'll probably sing my special tonight, maybe. Amen. You know, I've taught Brother Sean how to sing like that. And amen. Now, or at least I wanted to be able to, Sean, to teach me. Psalms 27 in the first verse. I was in a meeting out Roy Shrewsbury's one time, and Brother Sean and I, about the same size, and we was there in the meetings, and he sang "My Tore the Roof Off the Place." And after service, I walked around the building. Someone said that was a, they looked at me and thought I was Sean. They said, "My, you done a good job on your song tonight." I said, "Thank you." Thank you. We're part of a body, you know, so what he does, I do. Amen. And Psalms 27 and 1. This is Brother Branham's text for the rapture. And I think it's a tremendous text that he chose and that he would lay a block in for us as a turning of a corner. And he this was the actual scripture that Brother Bram took concerning the rapture. "For the Lord is my light and my salvation." Man, you know, it's going to be dark. So here's the light. "For the Lord is my light and my salvation, in whom shall I fear? For the Lord is the strength of my life, in whom shall I be afraid?" So he's letting you know there's going to be some things to be scared of, but that we should not fear. "For when the wicked, even our enemies and our foes, would come up on us to eat my flesh," see, "but they stumble and fail." So it's not that they're not coming, it's that they're not going to be successful. They'll stumble and fall. "For though even a host would encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. And though war would rise against me, in this will I be confident. For one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, and that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. And you realize that David had a lot of obligations as a king. He had an entire kingdom, but David had one thing on his mind, and that was serving God. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, and in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Lord, bless his word this morning as you may be seated. I want to just take a few minutes in the scripture this morning, and we just want to speak to you a little bit this morning from the rapture message. And I've been studying and preaching on the promise of a rapture, and I thought I might just share some of that with you this morning by the grace of God. And I believe that we have got a great promise before us, and I believe that God always keeps his word. Amen. I know that sometimes that when we look at things that God has promised us, many times we don't realize that God is in the midst of fulfilling something, or that he is giving us something. Amen. But if we're not careful, we continually, as a little boy trying to pick up a ball, we keep kicking the ball rather than reaching down and picking it up. You know, it just keeps out in front of us somewhere. But amen. But I believe that there's a generation of believers that's going to go ahead and take a hold of this word. Amen. And they're taking a hold of what God has given for them for this generation. And I just, as I was thinking of this morning, where would we be this morning if there was no rapture? In such a time as we live, with the troubles that are everywhere, with the signs of the time, with everything that we're facing, where would we be this morning if God hadn't promised rapture? But thank God this morning there is a promise laying here. Amen. It's in the book of Hebrews where the Bible commanded us to fear. And Paul said, fear unless there be a promise given. So there is times that we should have fear, but it would only be if there was no promise. But if the God that cannot lie has made a promise, then we do not have to fear this morning. For though the times of trouble have come, God has a way. Amen. He's already provided a way that with every temptation, he makes the way of escape. And in this great hour of temptation, in this great hour of trouble, let me use Brother Branham's words in saying that Daniel, the 12th chapter, the trouble that was predicted in Matthew 24, and all the trouble that was predicted, Brother Branham said they're in complete fulfillment right now. So we see the handwriting on the wall. We see the nation. We see the times. Amen. And I say that to let you know that we're not ignorant of what is happening around us. We're not just put our head in the sand and acting like there's nothing happening. There's many things happening. Amen. But I'm not worried and I'm not scared. Amen. And there's a reason for that. It's not that I'm blind to what's happening in the world, but I have a promise. Amen. I have a word before me this morning. Amen. From a God that cannot lie, that with every temptation, he'll make a way of escape. And as we know that Brother Branham, in the time of trouble, when he was out in the woods, and remember how the angel of the Lord put his hand on his shoulder and said, I'm a present help in the time of trouble. Well, if we can see that it's a time of trouble, then we know it's a time of his presence. Is that right? If it's a time of trouble, then it's a time of the presence of God. And I believe this morning that he is present. Amen. That he is here in the midst of the church of the living God. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I'll be in the midst of them. The God who always was, he is. Amen. But he just makes himself manifest among us and opens our eyes to the God that always has been, but he makes us aware of his presence. And I'm so glad to know this morning that he's among us, and he's made us aware to take the fear and the doubts and all of the misunderstandings and bring them true. And I was just studying here on this rapture message. It's a promise laying before us, and I thank God. You know, when you start speaking about rapture, you that has studied the message know and what it encumbers and what we're looking at and how it was. But you know, I often think of Brother Branham when he began to approach the rapture there in 1965. Do you know Brother Branham was coming up to a group of people that had never heard the truth of the rapture before ever that day? Amen. Here we are sitting years after the rapture message is preached, and we've had time to digest the book and to eat it and mince it and look at this quote and turn it this way and compare it with scriptures and all these things. But can you imagine sitting in the congregation that morning when Brother Branham stepped up to the pulpit in that businessman's meeting and he announced, "I'm going to speak on the text of the rapture"? Do you know no one from the time of Paul has ever heard the truth of the rapture from the time Paul spoke it until he spoke it that morning? I think of Brother Branham when he said, "I'm going to speak on the subject of the rapture," and then the next thing he says is, "I'm going to take a different avenue than you're used to. I'm going to take a different avenue." And I thought, oh my, surely he is taking a different avenue, because nobody has took the trail he's about to take. Amen. Nobody's took the prophet's trail from the time of Paul until the time that William Branham's preaching this. They did not even have an opportunity to. Do you know the Bible says, amen, that Paul in the book of Corinthians, speaking of the rapture, he said, "I'll show you a mystery, that we'll not all sleep, but we shall be changed." You know, Paul, when he called it a mystery, he locked the rapture from taking place or being understood from the time he spoke it until the time a prophet would come in the last generations of the Gentile age, and Malachi 4 would come. Until then, we would have no hope of understanding the rapture, and man would probe at it, and they would talk about it, and they would look at it, but they would never know the truth of it until God would send a prophet in that generation, and he would reveal that word unto that people that heard it in that time. To think this morning, Brother Branham is saying to the people when he begins to approach it and begins to say to them, "I'm not saying this," and I'll say it in one place, he said, "I'm not saying this to be prejudiced, I'm saying it because it's true." Amen. In other words, Brother Branham was not counting the teaching that had been made up to that time. Brother Branham wasn't up there that morning trying to disagree with Uriah Smith, or he wasn't trying to show the problem with Luther or with Wesley or any of the different ministries through the ages. Brother Branham was not responsible for what men had taught up until the time that he took the stage. Amen. But he knew what his job was to do, was to reveal the secrets of the scripture unto the bride in that generation, because there was no other age for them to go into. There was no other hope. There's nothing else left for the church but a rapture. That was all that was left. So Brother Branham wasn't trying to disagree. And many times when you start approaching something in the message, sometimes people think, well, amen, is he disagreeing with this fellow? Is he disagreeing with this guy? Is he trying to go this way? And that's not it at all. You know, Brother Branham could not help those men had taught those things. He was only responsible for what the scripture said and what his job was to manifest. You know, some time ago, a guy got up and made basically called Brother Branham a liar over the cloud, and it was some kind of military secrets or something, and he made a big deal out of that. So every time now you speak on the cloud, people wonder, are you getting against, are you trying to correct that guy or something? See, that's not it at all. He didn't have to say anything. He could have just left that alone. Amen. But we are responsible to announce what has happened in this age. Amen. We can't help what others say about it. We're only responsible for what a prophet said about it. Amen. You see where we're sitting this morning then. Amen. That this message was not given to just tickle the ear or to make us feel a little better. Amen. But it was to solve the problem, the problem of the ages, of man's ideas that had been added to the things that Paul said. And without God-given inspiration, they had stood there and added to the word in such a place, amen, that they had blocked the people from understanding the message when it came unto them. Amen. But I think this morning of how so many men approached that rapture, but none of them was ever able to give us the truth upon it. Amen. I think of when Brother Branham goes back there and he describes to us over in Australia, when he's over there and he says, you know, he said they made that Sydney Harbor Bridge. He said there was a lot of people wanted that bridge across that Sydney Harbor. He said they kept looking for somebody to build it. He said, but nobody would take on the job. Amen. And the reason they wouldn't is because there was so much sand on the bottom of the Sydney Harbor, and they knew there's no way to build a bridge on top of that and make it stand. Amen. But Brother Branham said, finally, there was one fella who was an engineer. He come in and said, I'll take the job. Amen. And he said the secret behind what he was doing is he knew he couldn't build on that sand. So he just went in and he moved all of that sand back. He just blasted the sand back until he went deep enough to get on a rock. Amen. And when he found that rock, then he could could begin to build something that would stand solid. Amen. And you can see then how that Brother Branham coming to the message, how he had to ignore every teacher from the time of Paul all the way up to his generation. And he just had to go back to the scripture. He had to move back the sands of man's ideas and all of the teachings and all the ideas out through 2,000 years of church history. Amen. But there was an original word concerning the rapture, and that was what Paul had preached back in the Bible. And here we are this morning, amen, the first generation of believers that actually hear what Paul was meaning when he began to determine there would be a rapture in the church in the last day. And think this morning, we have been seeing the man's ideas have been moved back, amen, and God has set us upon a rock. That's exactly what David said that he would do in the last times. He would set us on a rock. And we're not here this morning building upon the ideas of the denominational ages and what they have thought about the rapture, but we're building upon the solid foundation. And it was written, and word by word, this bride has been built up to a place where she can see the presence of God in the age she's living in. Oh, I think this morning of how for the first time Paul's teachings have become in view under this message. You never heard Paul's gospels until you heard this message of this hour. Amen. Do you see many have been drawn away in the ages we're living in? How does the world get in the shape that it's in? Well, I'll tell you, it's been drawn away into the shape that it's in. I think of hearing the scripture of how the Bible teaches us, amen, that Brother Branham takes another scripture and he said, you got to know this first. Scoffers are going to come in the last days. You're going to have to know this before you ever hear this message. You're going to have to know there's scoffers coming in the last day, and it's predicted they'll be here. Amen. This Paul, amen, wrote about the rapture. Then Peter comes along and says, know this first. And Brother Branham's first scripture after Psalms 27 is 2 Peter, and said, know this first. Scoffers will come in the last days. Amen. And they're going to come. Now notice this. When they come, the Bible said they will walk in their own lust. Now, I don't know about you, but I've always looked at that scripture into the lustly devices of man and physical realms and women and the world. But yet you must realize that that's not really what's drawn the world in the shape that it's in, but rather it's the lust of knowledge, of man's understanding. Amen. To get a better word than what God put in the Bible, to understand something beyond the borders of the scripture. And by doing so, the Bible said they are walking in their own lust. Is that right? The whole world has been found walking in that. That's why they're scoffing the teachings of this message. They're walking in the ideals of man. According to the book of James, the Bible said they're drawn away by their own lust. Amen. According to Peter, amen, they're walking in what they have been drawn away by. Some teaching drew them out, then they're walking in that teaching. It's amazing how, amen, that over in the book of Timothy says there's diverse kinds of lust. Amen. In other words, there's many kinds. It's in the book of Jude that it calls it an ungodly lust. So you recognize when Jesus looked at the Pharisees and he said to them that you're snakes in the grass. Amen. He wasn't talking about their living, how they were living, their sanctification. Because according to the scripture, amen, they didn't have no problem in their lifestyle. They were living the law to the T. But it was their rejecting of the manifested word in the age that they were living in. It's what he was counting unto them for sin. And the Bible says in the book of James that they're drawn away by their own lust. And when lust conceives, it brings sin, and sin brings death. Amen. Whenever something draws you away from the foundation of a vindicated word, then it's trying to take you to unbelief. And if you ever open the door of unbelief, that's where death comes in. Amen. I'll tell you, when you place a question upon the word of God, then that question becomes death. Amen. I don't believe we have a right this morning to question this message. I don't believe we have a right. Amen. When God makes it so real and he makes it so vindicated. I believe Brother Branham says it's come to the time now, he says, when we should not even be able to question, or he said it like this, to disbelieve it now would be sin.
To disbelieve now would be sin. It's been made too real. It's been too vindicated. Amen. Do you see where we are when the prophet of God says, see, I'm not saying things for a prejudice. He said, I'm saying because they're needed. I must say this, he says. I must say it. It's my message. Knowing back there under the healing and everything, knowing the message would come, and here it is. Knowing the message would come, and here it is. Amen. If we're talking about a rapture this morning, there's going to be a rapture. In the end of the rapture book, Brother Ram said, it's been spoken, it cannot fail. Do you see, here we are this morning, the rapture that I'm talking about is only for the bride. The rapture that we're talking about this morning is only for the bride. There's a lot of people talking about a rapture. There's a lot of people talking about it. There's a lot of the world talking about it. But the one Brother Branham was talking about was for the bride of Christ. Amen. To think that that rapture, amen, that would be there would be only for that elected lady, the bride in this day. That's the pulled out ones. That's the church. That's the very word, the called out. As Moses called a nation out of a nation, the Holy Spirit is calling the bride out of the church. It's a bride tree. It's a coming out. You see what it is? It's the rapture. It's nothing but that bride, the elected ones, the foreknown by God from the beginning, the Father's spiritual genes. Oh, I'll tell you this morning, thank God, amen, that this prophet was not looking at the teachings of man. Thank God he was not looking at the condition of the ages. Thank God that it wasn't so dark that he said there's no hope left for us. Amen. But in the middle of describing the darkness, Brother Branham made an announcement to us. There's a man here that can turn on the light. Where are you going to find an elected gene in this age? Where are you going to find a bride in this age? Where are you going to find a manifested word in this age? There's one here this morning that can turn on the light. There's a bride this morning that's been rejected of the world, that's been rejected of their families even, but there's something on the inside of their heart that is pulsating and beating that this word of God is true, that this is the reason they're on the earth. This is the sanction of their heart. This is what they're doing today. They're the elected ones, the foreknown of God from the beginning. They're the Father's spiritual genes. Oh, I'm glad the prophet had that kind of language. I'm glad that he could incorporate that in his message, the Father's spiritual genes. Then you mean this morning that just as I have a son, just as my Father has a son, just as there's a natural gene, then there is a spiritual gene. Then God has children this morning. Oh, I'll tell you, I maybe shared it with you in my past. My mother's here this morning. Hey, God bless her for coming today. We're glad to have her with her and my sister. My mom, as a little boy, used to ask me, she'd say, son, what do you want to be when you grow up? I say, 6 foot, mama. Amen. And you see, I didn't make it. Amen. I just didn't make it. And I tell you, I eat good food growing up. I'll tell you. She fed me well to get me there. She fed me a pork chops. And, we had so many pork chops when I was a kid. I love pork chops. I like them grilled, like them fried. We had mashed potatoes and gravy and homemade biscuits. And you know, I had to get off of some of the more fried chicken, but I love it. you eat so well, and you're trying to obtain that 6 foot. I was doing my best. She was doing her best to help me. But there was a little problem. My dad's a little short fellow like me. He's about 5'7", and I come from that gene. And do you know it didn't matter how much I ate, I never topped that. I'm going to stretch it to 5'8", and when I hit about 5'8", that just stopped it. And I thought, well, I can just keep eating, and I'm going to get taller. But I didn't get taller. I got wider. And I found out that was in my genes. Amen. You see, amen, those things are already laying there, their potentials. Now, I don't care how bad I want to be 6 foot tall. Amen. I could fast and pray every day of my life, and I could be so frustrated, and I could push and push and push, and I could measure myself every morning, and I'll never add 1 inch to my stature. I'll never add it, because that was in my genetics. That was what I was given in this age. And and no different than a leopard licking his spots. He only makes them brighter by trying. And, amen. But notice this, amen, that if that be true in the genetics of a humanity, which is only a symbol or a shadow of what God has done, how much greater is that this morning, that God has us children upon the earth that is in his potential. Amen. And there's something in your heart that wants to be in the rapture in the last days. And you asked yourself, is it possible this morning? And I want you to know it's in the genetics. Amen. There is something laying in the gene of the believer this morning that has a potential to change their body in the moment, in the twinkle of an eye. All you had to do to get 5'8" or 6 foot tall was eat. Amen. You had to eat. Amen. And if there is a genetics of the Father this morning, of a spiritual gene, if we eat the right thing, we're going to grow into full manifestation. What are we going to feed on? You see, we would never feed on a Pentecostal message to get there. It's the wrong age. We would never feed on a Luther's message to get there. It's the wrong age. But there's a food of the age we're living in, and that food is the message of the hour. It's the opening of the seals, and it's a 7-course meal. It has the strength and the potential. It has the vitamins to make a strength come into your life. Let me tell you this morning, you might as well tell the devil to take a trip. Amen, amen, because it's not my ability, and it's not your ability. It's not the church's ability that's going to get you in the rapture. You cannot jump to the moon, and you cannot change your own body, but you can surrender your life to Jesus Christ and let the gene that God placed in you take you over, and that gene will be a prisoner, amen, to the very powers of the God that created it in this generation. Amen. You are a father's spiritual gene. You say, well, I don't remember being there. That's all right. That don't mean it wasn't happening, and it don't mean you wasn't there. Amen. Because we don't remember it, then it didn't happen. That's a lot of times that's what we say. The Bible said we was ordained from the foundation of the world. Just because you don't remember it don't mean it didn't happen. Is that right? My mama's sitting right there. I don't remember being born. She does. She remembers the very morning I was born. And because I trust her, because she's my mother, she can catch me up on what I didn't know. I was there, but I don't remember it. Amen. So there was a witness that come to me later in my life and said, yeah, you were born on a certain day in a certain room, and this is what you ate, and this was how the thing was when you were birthed into this world. And because I trust her, because she's my mother, because she was there, then the next thing you know, you hear me down telling somebody, yeah, I was born on April the 4th of 1973. Amen. Because see, I have adopted her testimony. Because I believe what she told me, then I know who I am. I know where I come from. I know when I was birthed. I know what age I'm living in. Amen. And if you only trust your mother this morning, our mother is not the church. Our mother is not the world. But Paul said we are born to the new Jerusalem, which is the word from above. Parents, amen. Pentecost is not our parent. Our parent is the opening of this word. And we've been birthed into this age by the manifestation of life. And I know who I am. I know where I come from. I know what I'm to do. Not because I remember it, but because this message has told me who I was, where I come from, what age I'm living in. And then you adopt that testimony from that message, and it becomes life down on the inside of you. Your physical contacts the physical. The prophet of God says, but your spiritual contacts the spiritual. And inside of you, you've got a soul, and that soul is a gene that come from God. And that soul is a gene that come from God. I'm not responsible for how others have taught it. We're just responsible for what the prophet said about it. That soul on the inside of you is a gene that's come from God. Amen. Then you know what you can say to the devil this morning? Good riddance, buddy. Amen. There ain't nothing you can do with me now. Amen. There's nothing you can say to me. There's nothing you can trick me into. There's nothing you can change about this life. Because before I come into time, I was already a part of eternity. And I have come into time to prove that God has an eternal germ on the inside of this humanity in this age we're living in. Oh, I'll tell you what it ought to do to our heart this morning. Amen. What a gene of life that's down in you. It's a soul. It's a gene from the foundation of the world. I'll tell you, when you think of this morning, this helps describe many of our actions then. This helps describe some of the things that's happened in our lives. When you go into things that are to be, And you go in and see how Brother Branham will say a real child of God is hungering and thirsting. See, there's something in your heart telling you you want it. You have a need. There's something pulsating. He said it's trying to pull you there. See, something is trying to pull you. Something pulling you into the presence. Brother Branham said, there's a body there that's like this one here in a type. He says, what are you using this one for? Glorifying the devil and fashions and things. But see, he says, or are you looking towards a heaven? See, there's something up there. You're glorifying God. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. But I'll go prepare a place, and I'll come again and receive you, that where I am, there you may be also. You see, what it is things that are to be, and they're now only a potential, but they're calling for things that are to be. There's something in your heart calling for things that ought to be. There's something in you desiring something greater than what you are now. There's something trying to pull you back to that perfect condition. When you think about a real child of God hungering and thirsting, you know, Brother Branham, and things that are to be, he'll tell a story of how a mother, he said, all of a sudden one day she's never liked it before, but then she'll start eating a strange food. And I'll tell you, it is a strange thing when your wife completely changes. You know, I remember when Carissa first respected my son, she was getting up every morning cooking my bacon and eggs, and we were having wonderful breakfast. But one morning she smelled that bacon and she was done. Amen. And she'd just get so sick at the smell of that bacon. Well, Brother Tom, after about the second or third morning, amen, after a while, when she was laying in there sick, that bacon didn't taste so good to me anymore. But see, something changed her appetite. What she loved, all of a sudden she didn't like it no more. And the things that she didn't like, some things had changed. You know, if you go in one night and Bethany's wanting ice cream with a dill pickle and a little chocolate syrup and some chai tea and put me some orange juice on top of that. And you say, well, that's strange. That's a strange mixture of food. You see, if somebody's eating something that strange, you know something's taking place. That ain't that person. They never liked that before. They've never enjoyed that before. But all of a sudden, they have a different hunger. There's a different craving. Now, what is that craving speaking of? It's speaking of another life. It is speaking of something else. That's not you. For you had a certain kind of hunger. But now there's another life crying or hungering for something altogether different. Amen. And Brother Branham tells us that hunger, it's coming from a soul that is a gene of God from the foundation of the world. That's why you desire the things of God. That's why you're hungering for the things of the Lord. It is a strange call. See, it's not a normal thing. It's a very strange thing. People say, well, this message is very strange. Well, it's only strange, amen, when you don't know about it. Amen. But when you start coming into it, it sounds so strange at first. Amen. But when you start believing and you start eating, it starts satisfying the craving that's down on the inside of you. Oh, I think this morning when two met Jesus on the road to Emmaus and they met him, look at the shape they was in, and they thought he was a stranger. Remember the scripture? They thought he was a stranger. But in the end of the story, he became the resurrected Christ. Amen. He was not a stranger. He was the resurrection. He was what they were needing. Who was it out there on the water that day, amen, that come walking to the ship, and Peter was so scared of him. He was, that's a strange sight, amen, but it'll take something strange, something different than what the world has to get us out of the shape that we're in. Oh, thank God this message ain't just like another church. It's not just another teaching, but this is the word of God being manifested in this age. It is different, but it called our names. It pulls our hearts. It's dragging us in the presence of God. Amen. There's something in you. As David said, the deep calls under the deep. Amen. That deep calling under the deep. There's a deep calling this morning. Amen. David said it, as the billows of waves are going over me at the noise of thy waterspouts. Amen. David was saying it clear. The deep calls when I hear the certain sound. When I hear that certain sound, the deep's going to call. Amen. What was he hearing? He was hearing a fountain that was open, and it made him thirsty. Amen. He heard something moving. He heard the waters of life, and it made him thirsty. Have you ever been real thirsty and see somebody get a bottle of water? I know in long services sometimes it has to make you crave it a little bit when they pop the bottle open and they take a nice drink. Amen. You were sitting there a bit thirsty, but when you witnessed that, it rose that thirst up on the inside of you. And David said, when the waves, amen, billow over me, when I hear the noise of the sounding of the water spouts. Now, what's that translated into our age? When the fountain is opened in the house of David, it'll make every one of us thirsty. I didn't know it was available, but according to prophecy, in the latter times, there'll be a fountain opened in the house of David. You said, Brother Wayne, what does that mean? Brother Bram said, it's the word of God that lives in our age. When you see that there's a reality to the word of God, it's not just a bunch of preaching and a bunch of church joining and a bunch of singing, but it's about men and women that were lost and undone, and they were so unsaved, and they were in such trouble in their genetic lines. They didn't want God. They didn't desire God. They put their names on a roll, and that was enough. But there was something about you that said, my name on the book won't do it for me. Amen. My church memberships won't do it for me. Amen. But I will not rejoice till I've identified in the living manifestation of the word of the age that we're living in. Do you see something there that made you want? Amen. What Brother Bram said, he said, at the evening sounds. Amen. Malachi 4 sounds. It's lamp trimming time. It's going home time. Somebody can make this word live. If there's a reality to it, I want to be a part of it. If somebody can really get the Holy Ghost, then I want the Holy Ghost. If God really does miracles, then let's see the miracles. If God really saves, then let's see the salvation. You see, there's something in you that's no longer satisfied just to come to the church and just to hear a sermon and just to be a part. And sometimes you think people around you, that's what they want you to do. You ever been in church where you feel suppressed by even saying amen? You ever been there? Amen. When you want to say amen pretty bad, but when you start saying amen, you're so odd for the amen. You see, you should never be out of place in a message church saying amen. If you're the one out of, if you're feeling out of place by saying amen in a message church, just say it a little louder, because it's not you that's out of place. You see, and you feel that suppression on you sometime. Well, you better not get into that, because everybody's just milled. They want it to be a certain way. Well, listen, I'll tell you, amen, that's not in the vision of the church of the living God. A vision of the church of the living God is a people on fire with this word. God has a vision of a church on fire with the word of God. This is our revival. Our revival is not, amen, the kicking over the pews. And we do that sometime. But our revival is the word of God. When that word that's revived in this age, and it opened up a fountain. Amen. You mean for the first time then, I can see what Paul meant when he wrote the Bible. What God was saying when Paul said that. Oh, yes, I'm hungry to know. Yes, I want to see the word. Yes, I want to see the truth. Want that to unfold. You see, it's possible. And then if it's possible, we're going to move into that. You see, Brother Bram tells us a story in Expectations, how a little boy was down there sucking on a bicycle pedal. And Brother Bram said, and the same child was eating on a rubber pencil. See, something different. It was something different. That's what made his mama take him to the doctor. Amen. If it would have been the same thing, nobody would have questioned why he was doing that. If he was eating the same meal, acting the same way everybody else was acting, then there would be no reason to say, what's wrong with the boy? But whenever his mother saw that outside of the normal, she said, what's wrong with the child? And the doctor looked at the child and examined, said, oh, there's something in him calling for sulfur. And that's where you find sulfur, is in that bicycle pedal right there. You see, amen, he had a need to get into that bicycle pedal. And he didn't care what people thought about him. Amen. I'll be honest with you. Sometime or another, you got to just get rid of that. You're never going to get nothing from God as long as you're concerned with how everybody sees you. The first time I ever moved really and come to the Lord, I was sitting on the front row of a seat, and I was sitting there. You've heard my testimony. I was sitting there with a pair of cowboy boots on. That's about all I had. Them cowboy boots and a truck. But man, they looked so good on top. Amen. But on the bottom was a big old hole. And about the time I got ready to come up to the altar, I was sitting there and I was saying, man, I'm going to go up there and give my life. The old devil come by and said, the minute you kneel down, they're going to see the holes in the bottom of your shoes. You ought to just stay right here, or you're going to embarrass yourself. Amen. But after a little while, there was something in me greater than the humility or worrying about what somebody thought about me. And after a little while, I didn't care if the whole world saw the bottom of my shoes. I had to get something from the Lord. And what I was wanting was up there at that altar. I know people think altars are old fashioned. Amen. And they may have been made a tradition by some, but that's where I got the Holy Ghost. I know God still gives the Holy Ghost at altars. I know God still moves in that way. And if there's a hungry heart, don't you let somebody tell you that God don't move that way no more. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is continually pouring out His word and His presence and His power. And if, amen, if God give me the Holy Ghost, He'll give it to you. If God give me the Holy Ghost, He'll give it to you. Oh, you got to think about it. If He can fill the rivers with water, He can fill your heart with the Spirit. If He can fill the oceans with the waters and from the deep, He could also take this morning and open up a fountain and pour your life full of the Holy Ghost. Don't you let nobody tell you you can't have it. Don't you let nobody cool your experience off with God. Amen. If you want something from God, it only proves there's something to have. If you want an experience from God, it only proves there's one to have. Amen. We ain't got all of it. We got everything we need, but we're going to get some more of it. So, Brother Wayne, how do you know there's more? Because I want more. Brother Bam said, he said, it's like this. If you wanted a heaven, God would create one so you could go to it. Amen. He can meet our needs. Do you see our need? Our need was a word for rapture. But we couldn't get it in the Pentecostal church. And we couldn't get it in the Lutheran church. Amen. We had to humble ourselves and come out to this group that's fallen a prophet, that the world's ridiculing, the world's laughing. And you said, and many of you, and I know I did it too, people's going to think I'm crazy following this prophet out here like this. Amen. But it was what I needed. And it overcame my worry about what somebody was going to think about me. Oh, I'll tell you, sometime or another, you got to overcome those fears of what somebody thinks about you. Amen. I don't know. I'm going to sidetrack just a moment. This is free, as Brother Tom said. But one day, Brother Branham was up there fishing. Y'all remember the story? He was fishing for them trout up there in them Anacondack Mountains and had them tents set up. And he said he'd come back to his tents, and there was some old bear had got in there and gotten the honey bucket. Y'all remember he got in the honey bucket, got honey all over him? And Brother Branham said them two bear run off over there. He said, but that one little bear wasn't scared. He overcome his fear. He overcome his fear of a man. And that man happened to be a prophet. But there was honey in that camp. And once he overcome them fears, he got the honey in the camp of a prophet. And I'll tell you this, if you can overcome the idea somebody's going to think you're following a man, you can find the honey of this message in the camp of this prophet. We're not following a man. For the first time in generations, somebody has actually stood on the scripture. Everybody else stood somewhere this way or that way, but William Branham stood upon the word of the Lord. Amen. I know it's different, but it's what we needed. We needed it. We needed the word of God because it was true. Amen. Because this bride, see, it needs something to go in the rapture. Do you realize the bride does not go through the tribulation? You recognize the bride does not go through the tribulation? Amen. How else would we be purged if we don't go through the tribulation? Amen. When the prophet of God speaks of this, he speaks of a threefold purpose of the sixth seal. We know the first fold of that sixth seal is to purge 144,000. But the man said a second fold of it will purge that. It'll purge that foolish virgin who didn't accept the blood. He said that third fold of the sixth seal will purge the earth itself and put it in a millennial condition. Amen. But not one of those purposes have anything to do with the bride of Christ. See, you cannot find this bride in the tribulation at all because she don't go through the tribulation. The Bible said in John chapter 5 and verse 24 that he that heareth my word, amen, has passed from death unto life and shall not come into the condemnation. Brother Bam said if she's not going to condemnation, if she's not going to judgment, then she has to go through the rapture. And how then are we going to get in the rapture if there's no way out of Laodicea? But thank God John heard another voice. It's not just the voice of Pentecost. He said, but a door was opened up in heaven. The word opened up, and that was what we needed. needed was an escape out of this wicked age that we were living in. We needed something to open up. We needed something to be able to purge us. We needed something to cleanse us and wash us from the wickedness and the stains of the denominational idea. We could not think of ourselves as virtuous. We could not think of ourselves as pride. We could not think of ourselves without sin, because we had the idea and the leaven of humanity mixed up with the Word of God that put it on our works. And if you do this and you do that, then you're going to get this and you're going to get that. Amen. But for the first time, we heard a message of grace that talked about the sovereignty of the plan of an almighty God who will purpose His will, and that purpose will be a decree upon a life in this generation. There's something in you that has already been spoken. There is going to be a rapture. That's not just about somebody. That's not talking about a future. But friends, we are that rapture that a prophet was talking about. This is the time and the manifestation of that word in this age. Do you see, this message has called us, amen, out of the tradition that we could pass through the word and be purged. We can be purged of every idea. We can be purged of every denominational teaching. We have passed through the Word of God, through the doors of life, to enter that real, genuine atonement of Christ that is the Holy Spirit unfolding Himself upon the church. Oh, I thank God this morning that there was something that come to pull us out. Just as the sixth seal had threefold purpose. Do you know the seventh seal has a threefold purpose? Amen. Do you know that seventh seal has a threefold purpose? And Brother Branham tells him the seventh seal, the first fold of that purpose was his ministry. It was the opening of the word, was it not? That first fold of that was his own ministry. It was the opening of seven seals and the revealing of the Son of Man, that sword coming in the hand. You see, you read all of that. You hear all of that. But it has to be something. That's not just the actions of a man. That is a scriptural interpretation of 1 Thessalonians 4 and Revelations 10 and Luke 17, 30. This is God interpreting His own word. What does Malachi 4 mean? It means this. What does Revelations 10 mean? It means this. What does 1 Thessalonians 4? It means this. This is the message of the hour. This is the age that we are living in, when God reveals His word under that seventh seal. It brings the bride out of tradition and brings her into that genuine atonement of the word. Every born again believer, amen, every born again believer is absolutely sinless before God. He's not trusting in his works. But in the blood of Jesus Christ, his confession has dropped into the blood. That's right. How can you make a man a sinner when the bleach of the blood of Jesus Christ is between him and God? It will scatter sin till there's nothing left of it. That's right. How can that pure blood of Christ ever let sin pass through? It cannot. Amen. If a man comes under this blood, Brother Branham said he's absolutely sinless before God. Isn't that amazing? I know that's outside of our humanity. That's outside of our ability. But this message come to lift you up a little higher. The message of William Branham come to lift you up a little higher, where we're not using our thinking anymore. This is not the thinking of an age. This is the thinking of the bride of Jesus Christ. That mature woman has taken another headship, and she don't think like other churches think. She thinks like the Word has instructed her to think. Amen. To think that God has made a way for you to be sinless this morning. Oh, what would we pay to walk before a prophet this morning? Can you imagine Brother Branham was standing here, and you come up walking through the line, and he could look you over? How you'd wonder what he would find. Maybe there's a little something you think, well, maybe this would be in the way, or maybe this little situation or something. Amen. You know, I'm glad we got tapes. The other day I was listening to a tape, and I heard Brother Branham say that the redeemed are only considered in the blood. The blood is only for the redeemed. He said, actually, there's many that thinks they're under the blood. He said, but they're not. They're not. There's no way to be under the blood unless you've come under this word. Now, notice this, because when Brother Branham brings him through the prayer line, as a young man comes up, and Brother Branham says, I see you've had a real troubled life. He said, there's a black streak following you. He said, but you're not here for that. He says, you put all of that under the blood. Now, here's a prophet standing there telling a man, you've put it all under the blood. You said, Brother Wayne, was he seeing something behind him? Brother Branham only called it a black streak. Do you know there's a black streak following nearly every person if they're not careful? You say, what are you talking about? Well, Brother Bram tells us what that meant. In another tape, he's talking to a lady and he's telling her about a dream. And he comes up and he said, there's a black streak following. He said, that's a lie following you right there. Yeah. Brother Bram tells you that's a lie following you. Amen. You say, well, I mean, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say a prophet was telling you you're under the blood. There's a black streak following you. Amen. You've already put it under the blood, but there's a devil following you around, lying to you every day, telling you it's not under the blood. It's not under the blood. It's not under the blood. And here's a prophet saying it's under the blood. You see, it's got to be one or the other. You're going to have to believe the devil or you're going to have to believe God. Amen. And we already had the devil's word. We needed God's word. Amen. It's under the blood. Oh, can you imagine this morning if you could only really believe that it's under the blood? If you think somebody has something against you, and I go to Michael and I say, Michael, amen, have you got anything against me? And Michael says, no. Well, that satisfied me. Amen. I believe him. Now our fellowship is perfect because he's told me I got nothing against you. And God came down in this age and used the mouthpiece of a man named William Branham to say to you, amen, God has nothing against you. Amen. It's under the blood. It's time to let go and let God fulfill his will in your life. God's got a job for you to do. God's got a message for you to carry. God's got a rapture for you to perform. You can't be all hung up in those things. You see, amen, for me to preach the gospel, I can't be all hung up. Amen. If I sold somebody a car and they bought my car and I thought they'd done me a bad deal and next few weeks I'm all hung up in that, I can't come up here and preach. There's something bothering me. There's something hung up in my spirit. The only way I could get that out is go to the fellow and make that right and say, well, look, I was sorry I done that certain thing. See, that ends that. And I can just walk away from it. It's all over. There's no problems. Is that right? Amen. I don't need to revisit that three more times. I got something to do. We got to preach this gospel. We got to move. See, you got something to do. You've got a rapture to fulfill. You've got something that God, amen, said, I've got to fulfill this word that I have promised, and you're my choice to do it. And all these things was on you, but I have shook them under the blood, and they're gone now. Oh, I'll tell you, maybe you just elbow somebody sitting next to you and say, it's gone. Come on now, I can't even hear you. It's gone. It's just gone. That's a black streak following you. That's a devil lying to you. He's haunted you your whole life. He ain't nothing but a liar to begin with. He was a devil in the beginning. He was a liar in the beginning. And he's still a devil and he's still a liar. And I will not receive what he says. Amen. Do you see? There's got to be something that releases you. Amen. Everything placed under the blood. And you come into this baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then you have everything you have need of for a rapture in you right now. Amen. Do you know right now, Brother Bram said, divine healing is in you. The power of God is in you. Is that right? Amen. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. See, every individual that's received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How many's got the Holy Ghost this morning? Amen. I put it up there real high so we can see it. Amen. Everybody's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost this morning. Brother Bram said, rapture is in you. He said, everything you have need of for life's journey, even the rapture is in you. Now the devil, see what kind of liar he is. You're going to miss the rapture. You're going to miss the rapture. If you don't do this, if you do this, if you don't, you see that? You're going to miss the rapture. You're going to miss the rapture. But watch a prophet tell you. If you're under that blood and you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, how can you miss it? It's already in you. It ain't something that's leaving us. It's who we are this morning. The rapture is not something you're doing. It's who you are. It's what God has called you for. Do you see everything you have need and life's journey is in you right then? Lord, show us the Father. 1953, I'll read it. Brother Bram said it very clearly. Don't you resent that. He said, that's the truth. The rapture is in us right now. See, Brother Bram said it. The rapture's in you. And then he caught that spirit. He said, don't resent that now. The rapture's in you. That's the truth. It's in you right now. See, we've done got rapture in grace. How many of you here have been healed? You've been healed. Now let somebody come and tell you that God ain't a healer. It ain't. You can't happen. You so I don't know if he'll ever do it again, but I know he's a healer. I've done received it. You can't come and tell me God don't give the Holy Ghost. I've already got it. You can't tell me he don't give an experience. I've already experienced it. Amen. As far as you know, maybe, but I know better. I've already got it. And Brother Bam said, do you see, the church already has rapturing grace. We're not getting rapturing grace. We've got rapturing grace. Rapturing grace is the sovereign act of God, what he's done for you. Look at this. We always look at what we can do. We're looking at everything we can do. It's time for the bride of Christ to turn their attention away from what they can do and start looking at what God has done. What has God done to get us where we are this morning? This is not an accident. This message did not come by itself. It didn't just happen. These things have not just taken place, but a God who made a promise, and I'll come again and receive you unto myself. That same God has come down and broke through the dimensions of doubt and fear and unbelief and the denominational barriers and walls and stepped right into the presence of this wicked age and started identifying a bride of Christ. She's already got rapturing grace. Oh, don't you know something this morning as a bride? How many's a member of that bride church? Amen. If you're a member of that bride church, let me make an announcement to you. Brother Bram said, this Eve's not failing. This Eve is not failing. How did that first Eve fail? She fell by the word. Brother Bram said she disbelieved that one word. He said, but this bride will not fail. He said, because she is the word. Amen. She's not keeping the word. She is the word. She is the manifestation of the life in this age. Oh, if you would let that ring in your heart this morning, there wouldn't be one devil. There wouldn't be one unbelief. There wouldn't be one fear that could hold you. You'd be the freest and happiest person on the planet Earth. There wouldn't be a day big enough or a sun bright enough. Amen. There's something down on the inside of a believer when they recognize who they are. I tell you, Brother Bam said, you Christians ought to be the happiest people in the world. You ought to be the happiest people in the world. This is sold up. We're in his plan. Amen. I'll tell you, amen, we've done got the Holy Ghost. Brother Bam said, we've done got rapturing grace. I know that's not correct English, but I like it. We've done got rapturing grace. Amen. We've done got it. It's already been given to us. Amen. Do you see? Brother Branham tells us there's a revelation. Amen. And that revelation has already been given. Amen. In if you look at it, the seventh seal has threefold. Is that right? I believe that's pretty clear. When you read the next messages and you go into Christ, the mystery of God revealed, and you hear again, Brother Branham said God has a threefold purpose. Is that right? And he outlines them for us. Thank God he outlined them for us, because I wouldn't have got it otherwise. But he made it clear to us. He said God reveals himself. So you would never question what is God. Jesus said, the scriptures, in them you think they have eternal life. They're the ones that testify of me. So if he has never changed, then the scripture still testifies who God is. Is that right? Now, if God's in you, God's in me, or God's in William Branham, or God's in anybody else, you can always identify God by the scripture. You can, it'll testify of who that he is. Now, when that scripture testifies, watch, because he's got to make that known. That's the revelation. There's a token life, and that life is Jesus Christ. He makes that known. But then the second fold of that purpose that God has is that the life identified comes into the body. And when that life comes into the body, then that life in the body is God's preeminence over the church. When he gets preeminence over that body, then he takes it home. So there's actually threefold, just like there is of the seventh seal. And then if you move into, Brother Branham tells us very clearly that in the rapture message, there's also a threefold. In the rapture book, Brother Branham says the rapture is a revelation. Is that right? The rapture is a revelation. And that revelation, Brother Branham tells us this, according to 1 Thessalonians 4. Let's just read it together, just a moment here. Having to work a little bit this morning. 1 Thessalonians 4. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Watch what he says, with a shout. Now, when we read that, that's the way Paul wrote it. But it was hiding something. That was hiding a symbol. It was a symbol hiding something until the last age when the rapture would be taken. Brother Branham then tells us in the rapture message, see, we've been waiting for the revelation all this time. But then in the rapture message, Brother Branham said, the shout is the message. It's the message going forth. It's the living bread of life. See, God has a way of doing things, and He never changes His policy. He's an unchanging God. Then let me say it a little plainer then. 1 Thessalonians 4, the shout is the message of William Branham. It's what it is. See, in the scripture, Paul said a shout. God was intending us to see that shout as a message in the last days. Amen. It's not just the message, Brother Bam says. He says, but see, it's that third pull or the opening of that word in the last days. It's Revelation's 10th chapter. When that word begins to open up, that's what calls that bride together. See, that's what calls that bride for resurrection. Amen. If you think about it this morning, there's a lot of people looking for a lot of things to get this bride ready. Amen. But the prophet of God said the shout will gather the people and it will also prepare the people. Is that right? It will gather and make them ready. So we're not preparing to go through tribulation this morning to get ready for a rapture. Amen. Tribulation was never designed, amen, for the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. They've been having tribulation for the last 2,000 years. They've had all kinds of problems and pressures, and the church has been beat up and ridiculed, and the darkness has come. Amen. But it was never designed to give us rapturing faith. But rapturing faith was designed, amen, to come out of the message of the hour when God began to unfold the word, and when somebody was going to hear their name, somebody was going to hear their position, somebody was going to act their age. Oh, yes, sir. This is adoption age. Let me give you another word. Brother Bam said it's rapture age. The move is on for the bride of Christ. It's the invisible union. It's rapture age. It's time for somebody to move into the rapture of the church, to move into thus saith the Lord. The move is on. We're not sitting still any longer. We're not waiting any longer. We've been waiting for 2,000 years. The bride will wait until she has thus saith the Lord. But we have, thus saith the Lord. We have the word of the Lord. We have God's word. It's time for the bride to move forward. Hallelujah. Devil says you can't go. I say, devil, you're a liar. Get out of my way. You can't go. This happened and that happened. I tell the devil, God put it in the sea of forgetfulness. Amen. I rejoice that we have power over devils. I rejoice that we have good prayer lines and healing. Amen. But Jesus said, that's not the true rejoicing. He said, rejoice that your name has been written in the Lamb's book of life from the foundation of the world. Rapture anointing. Rapture faith. It's the grace of God. Our names have been written there before the foundation of the world. We were written on that book, and the devil can't do anything about it. He can kick and stomp and few and try to beat us down. But according to Romans, the 8th chapter, for them that God has called, He is already justified. And who that He's justified, He is already glorified. Amen. There's nothing the devil can do about it. We don't owe Him 5 minutes. We don't have to explain ourselves. We don't have to excuse ourselves. All we have to do is take the blood and walk away and say, devil, I spend all the time I'm going to spend with you. I'm moving up into the word now. You see what he can do if he can just keep you going around that same mountain? If he can keep you worrying, well, I've done this and this has happened and this done. Listen, friend, sometime or another, you've got to take the blood. Sometime or another, you've got to take the blood. You've got to receive that word and let that word become the head. Amen. There's got to come a bride. Brother Ben said there's a bride coming forth. See, the first thing that comes is a bride comes out. She comes out of denomination. She comes out of mentality. And how would we ever come out unless there was a message on the outside of it? See, everybody wants it to be a denominational thought. Amen. The world wants you to fit yourself in with denomination. But the bride could have never come out if Brother Branham would have said the same thing the rest of them were saying. But because he said something different, because he stood on the word of God, we had a place to come out to. We had a word to move out and to stand on that word of God. I'll tell you this, this message will call the bride together. Amen. This message calls the bride together. There is an inspiration this morning that is gathering the bride around the world. She's gathering in Europe and Africa and India, South America and Canada, up in Alaska, all the way down to the tip of Antarctica. Amen. All around the world, there's an inspiration being released out that's pulling that bride to her master. It's pulling that bride to Christ, to the elect of God. Brother Branham says it's calling them. Amen. To the elect of God, the word of the last day is calling that elected lady. See, without a rapture, what would we do? We would be in trouble. Amen. But the Bible said there's going to be. That's the elected lady. That's the pulled out ones. Amen. This revelation, Brother Branham says, will gather the church for the last days. We then have the revelation. Isn't that amazing? When we have the revelation. Look, the rapture is a revelation. The shout is the message that gathers. Is that right? And the shout is the revelation of the word. So Brother Bram says, we now have that revelation. See, that cuts out a lot of devils, don't it? That cuts out a lot of ideas, don't it? Amen. If we're waiting on the revelation, then every guy that wants a ministry is rising up saying, come follow me. I got the revelation. Come follow after me. I got the revelation. But we're not looking for another person to rise up among us. We're not looking for another great ministry to rise on the scene. But the very person of Jesus Christ has come down in this age. And he said, I will draw all men unto me. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That was his promise. This is the answer to that promise. God is keeping his word. Amen. God is keeping his word. He's answered his promise. It's time for us to recognize our day and this message. I've not lost my mind. You get answered. You get injured. They take you to the hospital. God, you know, first thing they're going to ask you, what day is it? Where are you at? What day is it? I'll tell you what, they can tell and determine your cognizance by the way you answer that question. Amen. If you say, well, it's Tuesday and it's actually Monday, they're going to know something's wrong with you. Amen. But if you have a right conscience about you, if you're to yourself, you'll know your day, you'll know the hour, you'll know your name, you'll know where you come from, and we can know that you're all right spiritually by recognizing your day and this message. And I say, I recognize that this message is the headship to the body in the last day. It's taking us in the rapture. We're not looking for another man to rise on the scene. We have the revelation that will gather the bride of Jesus Christ. It's been given by inspiration in this age. Oh, I'll tell you, there'll never be another age to it. Brother Bam said there'll never be another age to it. He says this is the gathering of the bride. He said there's got to be a gathering. Ephesians 1 and 10 says he will gather all things unto himself. That's the first scripture. Watch it. John 14, I will receive you unto myself. That's the second one. Watch 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He said, the gathering shall be unto him. That's 3. Amen. Genesis 49 and 10. He meant, unto him shall the gathering be. Amen. Do you see? Watch how them scriptures are identifying one another. 1 Thessalonians 4. Amen. They'll come from heaven a shout. It's a gathering. They're all saying the same thing. Amen. In Hosea, he says in Hosea chapter 2, a woman that's been out in whoredoms, been in trouble. She's been in the world. She's trying to come back in the time of judgment. You know what? You know what Hosea prophesies to her? He says, I will allure you and speak comfortably unto you. She did not deserve that. She deserved rejection. But watch what the promise was to her. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to ridicule you. I'm going to lure you. I'm going to bring you. In other words, I'm going to draw you. Oh, Brother Timothy, I had a runaway last night. Amen. When you start singing that song of Solomon, draw me and I will run unto you, Lord. Draw me. Solomon sang it. Draw me, Lord, and I will come to you. Do you see what this message is doing? This was God's drawing power. This was God drawing a bride, drawing her unto him. And I think of that this morning. God has drawn the church of the living God into his side. Amen. This is not our doing. Amen. This is not what we have done. This is what God is doing for the church. Amen. It's the anointing upon the church in the last day. Brother Bram said, see, it's God who is uniting his bride. He's uniting them from all over the world. They're uniting right now. Believers are uniting. The world is uniting. Everything's uniting. Brother Bram said, but look at that power of unity. He said, it's literally drawing together the living. The living is gathering together right now. He said, but that same unity is going to draw the dead out of the ground. Amen. What a union. Amen. A drawing power. There's something in your heart this morning that's believing this message. It's got you this far. You're believing the word. It's put you where you are this morning. It's put the faith you have in your heart. It's given you the zeal to come where you are. But the same thing that you're believing this morning is going to call Paul out of the ground. It's going to call the Luther out of the ground. Your faith this morning that's surging in you is going to climax in the changing of a body and a resurrection of the dead. Oh, don't tell me there's no power in the bride of Christ this morning. But all the power of the faith of God is resting in the church of the living God this morning. You say, Brother Wayne, where's their power? The power is sitting right here. You're the most powerful force on the face of the earth. It's, well, there's no power in the church. Absolutely, there's power in the church. You take her away and you'll see there's power there. Amen. There's a tribulation coming on just shortly. There's only one thing standing between the world and tribulation, and that's a bride. She's the most powerful thing on the face of the earth. She is the blood of Christ by the Spirit. When God removes her, the blood is removed. When God takes her, the thing is over. He leaves his throne and we leave the earth. It takes mercy over. Amen. But this morning, we're under the greatest mercy that was ever given to any age. Mercy is calling. Mercy is calling out of our genetics and out of our schools and out of our churches. Come unto me, all ye weak and heavy laden. I will give you rest. God is calling. He's calling his bride. He's calling her. Amen. You're talking about power. This power in this church. She's gathering together this morning. It's causing something. Brother Tom's coming from over on the west coast there. Amen. I went over and preached one time for Brother Cobb down south of you a little there. They took me out salmon fishing. I was expecting to go up in the river and salmon fish. They took me out in the ocean. What in the world are we doing out in the ocean salmon fishing? They said, well, the thing is the salmon going to make a run here in a few days. But we catch them out here in the ocean before they make that run. They said, just before they run, they all gather out here in the ocean. So when they gather together, that's a time for a fisherman to go out and hook one. Just before they make the run. You see, nature itself teaches us there's a gathering before there's a run. There's a gathering before there's a rapture. There's a gathering before there's a change of the body. The gathering is already going on, amen, around the world. What gathered us together today? There's a lot of people doing a lot of things, but you're gathered here this morning under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, called, elected, brought into the power of God by this resurrection anointing, something resting upon your life. Friend, there's a lot of fish in the ocean, but you're gathered to this. Something called you and pulled you to it. I'll tell you this morning, we can't claim of any good thing that we've done. Amen. We can't stand here and say, well, I've done this and I've done that. But I have to say it's the grace of God that's calling you this morning. That elected gene of God down on the inside of you. You cannot shake it. You cannot get away from it. It's something that is there. It's the third pull that is luring you, drawing you. Oh, I'll tell you, friends. Amen. When you look at this and you think that Brother Branham types this third pull and it was an angel that took him and showed him how to fish. Is that right? He was fishing. He was casting a lure and he was fishing. That was the lure, the attraction. What's the attraction of the church this morning? Why are we really attracted to this message? What is the real attraction? It's the fulfillment of Scripture. It's the fulfillment of the word. That's why you're here. You're interpreting the word by your life. Amen. This message has claimed your humanity. It's taken you over. It's literally taking you. It's took you away from your habits. It's took you away from the denomination. It took you off of the bar stool. Look, and where's he taking us? He said, I'll come again and receive you, that you'll go where I am. We're just going to keep moving here now. It's taking you. You know, I mean, I often think of fishing. I've done a little bit of fishing. I'm not a real good fisherman, but I've done a little bit of fishing. I caught the principles. And the principle of fishing is that a guy goes out there and you want to fish, right? Yeah. So you put on a bait that you think that'll catch the fish you want. Right. So you put and throw it out there and you jig a little bit and wow, you caught a good one. Caught a nice trout, you know? The thing about a fisherman is when they catch a trout, they don't haul it on the bank and then ask their skin and saying, you're a bass or you're a carp. Or, you know, I'm going to work some great miracle on you here on the bank and you're going to be a different fish than I caught. But there's a law that the species just don't change. The fisherman catches what he's after. And if he's netting, he catches a bunch and he picks out what he wants and lets the rest go back in the ocean. But there's never a time that any of us this morning could stand up to God and say, Lord, I caught you. Which one of us as a trout could look up to the Lord and say, my, I've done such a good job catching you. No fisherman has ever told by the fish, I've got you now. But it's always the fisherman that catches the fish. Oh, God is a fisherman this morning. And he cast a third pull lure. And he started dragging it through the humanity. And you bit. There was something in you that pulled you to it. You couldn't help it. You thought you were getting something just wonderful. You thought you were just eating some good food. Just an explanation, a powerful thing, something like that. And when you took it, you took the hook too. Y'all ever see somebody fish catch a great big fish on a light line? You know that line is almost invisible. So it's kind of like an invisible union between that fish and that fisherman, you know. And it gets that thing hung. And you can stand there and see that pole bent. And he'll stand there. Now, if that's a great big fish, a good fisherman knows something. You can't set that drag too tight. If you set that drag tight, he'll break that line. So a good fisherman will back that drag up a little bit. He can catch about as big a fish as he got spool to catch. And he'll back that line off a little bit, and he'll let that fish run. He'll let it have its head. You know what he'll do? He'll hook it, and he'll reel it a little bit, and that fish will get kind of close to it, and he'll turn around and run just as hard as he can run. But that fisherman ain't worried a bit. He just loosens the drag and just lets it run. And after it runs just a little while, that fish will start getting tired. That fish will start getting weary. He's just worked and worked and worked and worked. And all of a sudden, finally, he'll say, you know what? I don't know if I can do this or not. And he'll drop his head, and then the fisherman will reel. And about time he gets close again, he'll take off running again. And a big fish, he'll run. But he's hooked the whole time. Do you recognize that God has had you hooked the whole time? You just thought, well, how could I have ever done this? How could I ever been there? If God had his hand on me, he's had you hooked the whole time. He just lets you have your head. You're, I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to. And you just take off out there, and it don't work out at all like you want it to. And after a little while, you get so weary, and you get so tired of doing things your way. And you'll drop your head, and he'll just reel you back. Amen. You got out. Remember that time you got off of that little idea or that little doctrine, and the devil's come by 1,000 times and told you if you were a real child of God, you would have never took that to start with. Let me tell you something. Amen. When you start after something, the Lord will just let you go. Amen. He'll just let you go on the way you want to go. And when you get out there a little while, you'll see that fellow was misleading you. He was teaching you something wrong. And all of a sudden you'll say, how could I have been so dumb to go that way? And you'll drop your head and the Lord will reel you back. Amen. You've been hooked the whole time. Amen. God ain't been nervous. He ain't been wary. He ain't been troubled. It's already been spoken. There's going to be a rapture. And he hooked you for the rapture. He's bringing you to the boat. He said, I'm the fisherman that never lost one. He's already thanked God. The moment he set the hook on you, he thanked the Lord for you. I'll tell you right here this morning, I feel so good to be hooked. It's so good to be hooked by the Lord. Amen. To know I'm going to the boat. Amen. There's nothing the devil can do. There's nothing the world can do. Amen. There's going to be a rapture. It's already been spoken. There's going to be a bride. Amen. It's got to happen. Amen. Thank God we're a part of that this morning. As our musicians would come, I thank God we're a part of that this morning. I thank God that the anointing is upon our lives. Amen. To be fulfilling the word of the age that we're living in. You see, this thing, there ain't something coming going to catch you. This message caught you for the rapture. If we used to have fish fries, Brother Ron, I know you've probably been to a few fish fries. And a group of guys said, let's have a fish fry tomorrow evening. You know what? We'll go out and go fishing. And we're catching for that fry. Amen. If you catch one of them fish, you throw them in a boat, they're caught. They're going to the fry. You know, that's, amen. And God ain't taking you no fish fry. He's taking you to a marriage supper of the Lamb. He said, let's take these angels and let's go out in the field and let's gather the seed for the harvest. Amen. Let's send this message of this word, and this word come right along your life. And you had all your plans. And you had all the things you were going to do and all the ways you were going to go. But something down on the inside. Something down the inside just would not let go. He said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just run. I'll run out here and I'll do this and that, and he'll leave me alone. No, he had you on. He already had you hooked. The minute God said there's going to be a bride, do you know he had somebody in mind? Can you imagine Isaiah standing up one morning, coming up to preach on a Saturday morning maybe, and he's sitting there preaching on the zeal of God to perform his word, and Isaiah just screams out, a virgin's going to conceive. That word went out of that prophet's mouth and it circled the earth. For nearly 700 years. Until finally there was a little girl standing by a well one morning. And an angel said, Mary, this is for you. This one's for you. And Brother Branham said, that fell into the womb of that little heart and gave life and flesh to that word. This prophet's words have been circling, catching, taking. The minute William Branham said there's going to be a rapture, there's going to be a bride, that word started towards your life. And when it found, look at what it dropped right in that soul. And you can't shake it. You're hooked by the master angler. You can't shake it. You can't get rid of it. You say, Brother Wayne, what should I do? Give to it. Just let go. Just let go and let the Holy Spirit take you. You're going to find he's going to place you right in that rapture. Your part, your position. In that rapture age. I want to borrow our Brother Tom's statement in closing. I want to act my age. This is rapture age. I want to act my part. I want to give my life to this word. Can you stand to your feet with us this morning? I'm so glad to be a part of this. I'm glad the Lord gave us of his mercy and of his grace. Let's just bow our hearts this morning. Father, we thank you today for your anointing, for your life. Lord, I'm so glad you caught us. You hooked us, Father. I'm so glad your grace has visited our lives. And Father, this morning there's hearts all over this building. Lord, they felt the pull of this word. They felt it reach out and claim them. Years ago, Lord, when that certain sound began to open our hearts. It was something we couldn't resist. We had a hunger. And right here this morning in this building, hungry hearts, Lord. Hungry hearts, thirsting, desiring. Lord, you put the gene there. You put the heart to respond to this word. And I just pray this morning, Father, that you would just saturate. You'd saturate every life, Father, with your presence. I pray this service this morning, Lord, would only be a small building, a place, Father, for something to touch a heart or life. As we've been snagged by your presence, I pray this morning now, Lord, we release ourselves into you across this building today. Lord, if there's a heart that's struggling, Lord, they're trying to make their way past things and things they've made right and they've asked forgiveness and Lord, it's just nagging them. I pray, Father, you reveal to them it's only a black streak. It's only a lie haunting them. Let them enjoy the presence of your blood, Father. I pray now, Lord, across this congregation that you touch your children as we surrender our beings to you, our hearts, our lives. We give everything we have to you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Again, that chorus now, I feel the pull. Oh,
Let you
That's our desire this morning, Lord. Lord, that for those that have been running, Father, and you've so patiently been letting out more of the line, pray they'll come running back to you, Lord. And Lord, for each one of us, I ask, Lord, that your presence will fill these temples. Lord, at this still towards the start of the meetings, Father, that each one will just have their focus on you, dear God. Lord, we thank you for our brother this morning. Thank you for the words of life, Lord, this service, this time that we had, Lord. We pray these words will just follow us through the day and through the rest of the camp, Lord. Lord, of your saving power and your grace. Lord, that whenever that devil, that little black streak would try to come, we already have the provided answer. We thank you for your word of promise, Lord. Lord, and we want to thank you for the food that's prepared, Father. We thank you for those that are here helping with this camp, Lord. Lord, we pray that even the staff here at this campground will just feel your presence, Lord, and that you'll surround them, oh Lord. Lord, that they'll know that there's a one true living God. Lord, we ask you to bless the food, bless our fellowship this afternoon, Lord. Be with us in the service this evening, we pray. Commit our lives to you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's just go singing that song again. I believe the food is prepared and ready. Amen. Just remember to keep the sanctuary holy as you leave. Oh, surround me.